Good evening. I'd like to call to order this meeting of the Board of Education for Washington Local Schools. Today is Wednesday, May 16th, 2018. It is 6:01 p.m. Mr. Falk, please call the roll.
Mr. Hughes.
Present.
Ms. Canales.
Present.
Mr. Ilstrup.
Present.
Mr. Hunter.
Present.
Mr. Sharp.
Present.
Also present, Dr. Hayward, Mr. Davis, and myself.
Please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Dr. Hayward?
Good evening. This evening, the national anthem will be sung by special Whitmer guests from the spring musical Aida. The original agenda showed that Whitmer seniors Darla Arnett and Ben Logie would be singing tonight. Darla portrayed the title role of Aida, and Ben portrayed the male role of Rhoda Mays. Ben became sick this week, and his understudy, Whitmer freshman Ethan Zeidel, will be singing tonight. In the theater world, understudies spend countless hours learning both songs and dialogue, so they can be prepared at a moment's notice to step in. And tonight, we are pleased to welcome Ethan. Following the Star Spangled Banner, Darla and Ethan will perform Written in the Stars by Elton John and Tim Rice.
Please join me in standing.
Can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming in the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting, gave proof through the night that our flag was still
good for just a stretch of mortal time.
people. This could be our chance to do something important. Don't you see? It may be the whole reason we've met.
Then it would be a cruel trick.
Not if the gods put us together for some greater purpose.
There is nothing to decide. No escape or change of heart. Nor any place to hide.
Oh, you are all I ever want. But this I am denied. Sometimes in my darkest thoughts, I wish I never learned what it is to be in love and how that love returns.
Is it written in the stars? Are we paying for some crime? Is that all that we are good for? Some stretch of our time?
Or some God's experiment? In which we have no faith? In which we're given paradise? But only for a day?
We'd like to thank Darla and Ethan for sharing your amazing voices with us. Special thanks are also extended to our theater director, Andrea Schreiner, and to tonight's accompanist, Nathan Jimbreska. Nathan is a 2013 Whitmer graduate and was a sergeant and bassoonist in the Marine Expeditionary Force Band in Okinawa, Japan. So thank you, Nathan.
On behalf of the board, I want to thank you as well, and I hope all of you got a chance to go out and see, Aida, the musical 2 weekends ago, I believe. It was a stroke of genius, and you did a marvelous job, Darla, and I'm sorry you didn't get a chance to be on stage, but you did a wonderful job tonight. Thank you so much for joining us. Anyone else? All right, before we begin a community comment tonight, obviously there is a new member to our board, and I'd like to welcome Mr. Christopher Sharp tonight and ask him. Chris, if you could tell us a little bit about yourself and introduce your family, if any of them are here tonight.
Actually, they couldn't make it tonight. We got a lot going on. I've been a local 8 member for 23 years. I've lived in Toledo my whole life. I'm 41 years old. We've raised 4 kids in the district. We lived in the Whitmer district 18 years. When my wife and I got married, we purposely found a home in the Washington Local School District. She's a graduate from 1998 graduate from Whitmer. She's worked in the district as well. It's a great experience to live in this district and to work in this district now. It's a great community. It's very strong, very positive, and I just can't wait to get to work and keep that going.
Thank you, Mr. Sharp, and welcome.
Thank you.
Now we'll open the mic up to community comment. I've seen several people already put their names on the list. As you step forward, again, remember that you should keep your comments to 3 minutes in length. Mr. Falk will be keeping time. When you reach the two-minute mark, he will give you a warning, and as you get to the two-and-a-half-minute mark, he will give you 30 seconds. Again, when you are at the end, we ask you to conclude your comments and courteously allow the next person to speak who wishes to step forward. So, opening up to comments, please step forward. If you'd please tell us your name and your address.
My name is Abigail Stuck. My address is 5637 Chippewa Road, 43613. Tonight I wanted to bring it to the board's attention. I'm a senior here at Whitmer. I did a senior capstone project on suicide prevention, and while doing my research I found that Whitmer either doesn't have that is educated on or has one that no one knows about, a suicide prevention protocol. I'd like to bring that to the board's attention because while also doing my research, I found that there is a lot of students and faculty members that are uneducated. This is a topic that hits home for me, and so I thought it was important for the district as well. I know of personally there have been at least one death in the district due to suicide. The protocol for then that moment was we'll have the guidance counselors go talk to them. That isn't enough. That was a postvention protocol. That wasn't a prevention. If we had more education besides that one time in health class during the week of mental illness week in that one day, educating our students, educating our faculty on how to handle a situation like that is extremely important. I've found out, and I do believe that if we as a community can come together to change it, can I ask a question to you and the rest of them?
Just a comment.
Okay. Well, I know that at least half of the people in here have somehow been impacted by suicide. That's a ridiculous amount of numbers. Teen suicide is the third leading cause of death for them all. We have to be a community, more of a post. Just letting you know.
Thank you, Abigail.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Kathy Mayfield. I live at 2441 Point Pleasant Way. I don't have a speech tonight. It's going to be real quick. I had questions which are going to be rhetorical since I know you can't answer them, but considering that it's been almost 3 years, you know, since the saga has happened, I know as teachers we're often asked to reflect on our teaching and to decide what to do to move forward and to improve in the future. And so I hope that you'll take some time tonight to make a comment to the community and do just that. What have you learned the past 3 years, and what can you do to change our district to ensure that something like this doesn't happen again, so that staff doesn't feel harassed, so that students can feel safe to come to class? What will you do to make sure that a leader cannot take advantage of anyone in this district? Another point I'd like to bring up is the vacated seat left behind by Patrick Hickey. It's no secret that, you know, it's quite the upset to not see that Irshad Bannister earn that seat. He was the fourth place vote getter. He earned over 2,900 votes. He is a parent in the district. He graduated from the district. At Candidates Night, his answers were exemplary. I believe each candidate had mentioned that one of the top concerns in this district is finances, is money. Irshad Bannister, that's his career. He's a financial investment advisor. He would have been absolutely perfect for this position. Not only that, but he managed to appeal to people both pro-Hickey and anti-Hickey, which how does anyone even do that? It was incredible. He would have had the chance to unite us in a way that I don't think anyone could have foreseen without his candidacy. So I bring this up really to ask for clarification. What was it that he was missing? I mean, I've looked. I can't find any skeletons in his closet. He would have been perfect. Why not Irshad Bannister? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Mayfield.
Good evening. I am Patricia Pedro Carmine, 3844 West Central Avenue, Toledo, Ohio, 43606. I'm here tonight to thank a member of the Washington local community. This person is the strongest panther I know. She wanted only to let the truth be told. For this, she was treated with much disrespect. She was threatened through anonymous letters and phone calls. On social media, she was called many disgusting names. She put her family's lives as well as her own on the line. Her professional career was also threatened through this nightmare. I know Terry Kern is not waiting to hear thank you. This Whitmer graduate and former Lincolnshire graduate and also of Jefferson and Washington, student only wants the best for WLS. For this reason, Terry Kern has proven to me to be a person with integrity and much courage. I know it was not easy to stay on this path of truth. Terry could have given up years ago. Terry chose to stand up for Washington local schools because she cares about our students, our staff, and our community. Thank you, Terry Kern. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Carmen.
Good evening. Jennifer Gent, 2656 Coview Drive. I wear many hats in the Washington local community. I'm a resident, a teacher, a parent of both a regular education student and a special needs student. And as of April 28th, I am now the president of the Teachers Association of Washington Local Schools. At this time, I would like to publicly thank the members of the board and administration who have personally reached out to congratulate me on my recent election. I look forward to working with all of you to best meet the needs of my TALS members and the students we serve. As I shared with Dr. Hayward and her administrative team recently, at this time I have requested that the members of my TALS Executive Committee complete a local assessment tool developed by the Ohio Education Association. The data collected from the survey will be used by myself and my leadership team to identify our strengths, weaknesses, and our needs. By understanding our strengths and weaknesses, my leadership team will be able to develop a strategic plan to better advocate and meet the needs of our TALS members. I share this information with all of you today because I believe evaluations and surveys, when generated by accredited organizations and used for the right purposes, not only can be great sources of information, but can also provide opportunities for growth. In an effort to get data-based information on what is working well in Washington Local, our current strengths, or what areas may need improvement, at this time, I would like to encourage the board to explore options to also conduct a survey of Washington Local employees to identify where are our current strengths, what they feel are weaknesses, and where their concerns lie. Information gathered from a district-wide survey will not only provide great insight to all of you, but also opportunities for growth to make us better than where we already are. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Gent.
Good evening. My name is Scott Diefenbach. I live at 1938 Buckaloo Drive. You know, it's never easy to fill a vacant spot, but because somebody runs for that position and gets the next highest votes, doesn't necessarily mean they're the right person. So for this board to discuss it the way it did, had to come down to a decision, I think it was the right choice. I've known Chris since we went to high school together. We're brothers with the IBEW. I am also the current GTBL, which is the Greater Toledo Broomball League, league director. And Chris and I have sat down many a times to discuss what he can do for the community as far as creating a nonprofit baseball league for youth. You know, you look at his kids and what they do, his involvement with the school system. It takes a lot to put yourself out in the public like that, to be scrutinized. I want to thank you, Chris, for doing that, for stepping up. And you know, if you ever need anything, help with anything, you can call me. Congratulations.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else? Last call. There being none. Mr. Falk? Ball's to you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Bilstrode. I recommend the Board of Education approve the minutes of the special...
I apologize.
You skipped the
There's some
steps.
Presentations.
Thank you.
I apologize.
The Toledo chapter of the Architects Institute of America hosts an annual AIA High School Design Contest. This year's competition centered on creating an autism center for Bittersweet Farms. This is a real-time setting for an actual project that will be built. The student designs will not be used, but the project takes them through the full design process. 16 area schools competed in 2018, and two Whitmer students placed. This is the first year Whitmer has had two winners and is very impressive as only a handful of awards are presented. Whitmer Junior Carissa Shepherd won first place in sustainable design. Her sustainable design was a solar-paneled roadway parking area which would collect solar energy and generate electricity to help run the building she designed for the competition. Whitmer sophomore, who I believe is absent, Trenton Maholski, took third place in the freshman sophomore competition for overall design. The AIA committee recently combined the freshman and sophomore group, so he competed against a larger pool of students than past year competitors. Both of these students are second year architectural students in Gary O'Connor's class and competed in the AIA High School Design Competition for the first time this year. Trenton could not be here tonight, but I would like Carissa to come forward to receive a certificate recognizing her outstanding achievement. Our second recognition tonight is for outstanding writing in the Penn Ohio competition. Five Washington local junior high students are Penn Ohio state qualifiers and will be advancing to the state competition on May 25th in Wooster, Ohio. Please come forward to receive a certificate as I call your name. Kaylee Isham was the highest performer, finishing 17th. Morgan David is now a two-time state qualifier, having competed at states last year. Emma Steiner was invited to regionals last year and looks forward to this high level of competition. Allie L. Keeshan is a first-year team member who has excelled. At the seventh grade level, Gabe Kolazar finished 15th overall. We would like to recognize Whitmer freshman and assistant coach Leah McIntosh and head coach Luke Fannin, our junior high gifted intervention specialist. Congratulations and good luck to all of you.
Nice job. You guys are writers, huh? Cool. Just be with your career. Mm-hmm. Always busy doing something.
Yeah, Morgan. Mm-hmm.
You're not a judge. You are the assistant coach.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't break it down.
The next presentation is for the Washington Local Schools Elementary Art Show. The second annual Washington Local School Elementary Art Show is held April 19th, featuring hundreds of 2D and 3D art created by Washington local students in grades kindergarten through 6. 18 pieces were selected to receive special ribbons, two principal awards from each of our 8 elementary schools, and two superintendent awards, one from the primary level K-3 and one from the intermediate level 4-6. Tonight, we would like to publicly recognize those award recipients, and all of their artwork is on the back of the wall for all of those students who were winners in the art show. As I call your name, please come forward to receive a certificate of excellence and remain standing in the front until all of our award winners have been recognized. Greenwood Principals Award, Gwen Binkowski. Greenwood Principals Award, LJ Pickett. Hiawatha's Principal's Award, Olivia Jakey. Hiawatha's Principal Award, Jahir De La Cruz Reyes. Jackman's Principal Award, Trevor Proppet. Jackman's Principal Award, Caleb Alberts. McGregor's Principal Award, Joanna Just. McGregor's Principal Award, Morgan Smith. Meadowvale's Principal Award, A.J. Dubendorfer. Meadowvale's Principal Award, Demetrius Burton. Monac's Principal Award, Riley Forsh. Monac's Principal Award, Kylie Varnes. Shoreland's Principal Award, Darshaya Hicks. Shoreland's Principal Award, Kennedy Brzezinski. Warnert's Principal Award, Violet Cherry. Warnert's Principal Award, Jason Vallier. Superintendent's Award, Kyra Cole. And Superintendent's Award, Michael Jeffries.
While Dr. Hayward is passing out the awards, I want to thank you kids for brightening our schools and our boardroom. I just love the art that you've done, and I've seen much of it in each of your schools. You are awesome artists. I think I speak for this whole board when I tell you that art is just as important to us, the arts are just as important to us as reading and math and all of the other things that go on, because that's what makes excellent students and excellent learners. And I love the art. Anybody else? Dr. Hayward?
I would also like to extend my thanks and appreciation to our elementary art teachers. Please stand as I call your name. Chris and Sarah, Tana Johnoff, Tammy Conlin, Amy Hannon, Crystal Anderson, Dale Lehman, and Stacy Sattler.
And I apologize to Mr. Fouke for jumping the gun. I turned the page and his was the next page. Unfortunately, I failed to look down at my agenda. So, without further ado, Mr. Fouke.
Moving to Exhibit 2, I recommend the Board of Education approve the minutes of the special meeting of March 27th, March 28th, March 29th, April 2nd, the regular meeting of April 11th, and the corrected minutes of January 16th, 2018, as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Hunter, second by Ms. Canales. Discussion? There being none, call the roll, please.
Mr. Sharp.
Yes.
Mr. Hughes.
Yes.
Ms. Canales.
Yes.
Mr. Ilstrup.
Yes.
Mr. Hunter.
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0. Next item, financial report and investments. First report, summary of cash balances by fund. Cash balance for all funds decreased by $4.1 million. Revenue for the month of April was $4.3 million. Expenditures was 8.5. Cash report reflects the month-to-date and year-to-date activity. Checks written, interest for the month was $63,993. Request motion for approval.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Canales.
Second.
Second by Mr. Hughes. Discussion? There being none, call the roll, please.
Mr. Hughes.
Yes.
Ms. Canales?
Yes.
Mr. Ilstrup?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Sharp?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0. Next item, Exhibit 4, I recommend the Board of Education approve the following payment of legal fees as presented. Richter & Eckler, March Services, $3,784.77. Spanger & Nathanson, March Services, $2,451.25.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Hunter.
Second.
Second by Mr. Sharp. Discussion? There being none, call the roll, please.
Ms. Canales?
Yes.
Mr. Ilstrup?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Sharp?
Yes.
Mr. Hughes?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0. Next item, Exhibit 5, purchase over $25,000. I recommend Board of Education approve request from Notre Dame Academy using auxiliary service funds for a technology purchase of student iPads. Total purchase price is $28,790.30.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Canales. I will second that motion. Mr. Fowle, could you explain to the audience and members of the community why we are buying things apparently for Notre Dame?
The state of Ohio provides funding for the non-public schools. I believe we have three schools, public or non-public schools in our district. They receive, I believe, around $1,000 per student. They use it mainly for personnel services. But however, there is funds left over available for supplies as well as equipment, and that's what this is.
And we're a service agent.
We are their fiscal agent. We receive 4% of a fee of their non-personnel, and we own this equipment. This would be the property of Washington Local Schools, but it would be in their care and custody. Okay. And then if they no longer need it, they ask if we want it. Usually with things like this, when they no longer need it, it doesn't have any value. But this would be property of Washington Local Schools.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Fowle. We have a motion by Ms. Canales, a second by myself. Any further discussion? There being none, call the roll, please.
Mr. Ilstrup?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Sharp?
Yes.
Mr. Hughes?
Yes.
Ms. Canales?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0. Next item, lease agreement for the Westwood Building. I recommend the Board of Education issue a two-year lease agreement with the Educational Service Center of Lake Erie West for the Westwood Building at the newly calculated rate as presented. This would be a two-year term through June 30th, 2020, and the rent would be $62,454 annually.
So moved.
Second, motion by Mr. Hunter.
Second.
Second by Mr. Hughes. Discussion? There being none, call the roll, please.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Sharp?
Yes.
Mr. Hughes?
Yes.
Ms. Canales?
Yes.
Mr. Ilstrup?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0. Next item, Exhibit 7, renewal real estate broker contract, Reichel Klein Group. I recommend the Board of Education accept the renewal terms with the Reichel Klein Group to perform real estate broker services for the sale of the remaining trophy property at 5720 Secor Road for a term of June 21st, 2018 through June 21st, 2019.
Motion accept.
Motion by Mr. Sharp.
Second.
Second by Ms. Canales. Discussion?
I would encourage my fellow board members to vote no on this. This is the second realtor we've had on this project for a period of a year each. I think we need to find a realtor who's hungry, who wants to do a little bit more aggressive. 2 years sitting there with nothing going on, I would maybe look to we go to a smaller realty group or something that will go out and try to get people to do this. I think just letting it sit there with a sign on it with no action doesn't do us any good. I would like to see a new realtor who may be more aggressive.
I would like to hear some from Mr.
Sorry?
What do you think? I guess is my thought.
Mr. Hunter's correct. They have tried. I provided the board the listing of companies that they've contacted. I initially thought maybe the price was too high. I believe it's $415,000. They said, no, the price is very fair. It's just an issue of it's unique property that's not selling. Last time we did an RFP, I think the first year was Signature Associates, first couple years. We then been with these for about 2 years. Again, we can do an RFP and get different quotes from people, another service.
Have we had any activity on that property?
We haven't had any activity since we probably listed it in 2011. We did sell off the General Dollar. They did purchase a portion of it. I believe that was around $250,000. Maybe they bought a share of it. They're paying taxes, probably around $25,000-$30,000 a year, but the rest has not moved very much.
If I was to be selling my house and the realtor couldn't sell it over a period of time, I would try somebody else. And I think that's the same reason I would say, let's try another realtor. This guy's had it for a year, hasn't done anything with it. Let's try somebody else who may be a little bit more aggressive.
I would be open to tabling it or however necessary.
We can vote it down. I presented this to the board about a month ago. I understand there's maybe concerns. I haven't heard any. That's why I put it on the agenda. But the board's not comfortable. They want me to do an RFP. I'd be happy to do that again. If a board member would like to help select the next one, I'll be happy to entertain that as well. I mean, this is, again, it's out there. It's, you know, the sign's up. It's being advertised. It just, you know, people know it's available. Other realtor agents can also sell the property if they so please. Again, it just isn't selling.
Is that fairly typical for commercial property?
I've seen signs. I'm not a commercial real estate. I know I see buildings for sale forever. I mean, we see many in our district in Toledo. There's many properties that not only stay for sale, they never get sold. And it's just the community that we're in. Sometimes it's cheaper, to go to the suburb. You know, they move where the population is moving to. That's another thing they look for. And retail, as we know with Franklin Park Mall, it's a very difficult area to enter into. The dollar stores seem to be doing well. We talked about a restaurant. We talked about, they looked at, the board got a list of who they marketed to. Part store, Brondies, I think the other one, car washes, and it just isn't selling. And again, I initially thought, well, if, Mr. Hunter's correct, you would switch. Maybe the price is too high. We're not even getting offers.
Yeah.
And, it's sitting vacant. Let's put it on the rolls, even lower the price. And he says, no, the price is fine. It's very competitive.
Did Reichley Klein set the price on that?
What's that?
Did they suggest the price on that, or is that our pick?
They did. I wouldn't know the value of a property. Okay. And the same thing with Signature. They did the same thing.
Right.
And we, again, I don't have any problem doing the RFP and getting quotes if a board member.
Jeff, will this cost the district any money to move over to somebody else?
No.
Then I would agree with that then. Okay. If it's sitting there that long, that's my thoughts. But
well, we have a motion on the table, and I recommend the board could just vote it down. And I'll get a request for RFPs.
I'm fine with that.
All right. Any further discussion?
None.
Call the roll, please.
Mr. Sharp?
No.
Mr. Hughes?
No.
Ms. Nallis?
No.
Mr. Ilstrup?
No.
Mr. Hunter?
No.
Motion fails, 5-0. Next item, I recommend a Board of Education approve the adoption of the May 2018 five-year forecast as presented. After a motion second, I'll review it.
So moved.
Motion by Mr.
Second.
Hunter. Second by Ms. Canales.
Right, I provide the board with lengthy documents. Basically, I'm just going to hit what I call the top 10 comments. The first one is real estate. Our district is landlocked. We don't really have a lot of growth. We've talked about it. I mean, we mentioned, we're seeing new construction taking place. A district our size, a district like Sylvania or Findlay, you can list all the construction taking place, new housing, new construction. We have a few. Also, we have, the biggest, largest mall in the area, Northwest Ohio for sure, Franklin Park Mall. They've tested their values for many years. They've lowered their value by $20 million. So this year, they not only did they receive a refund of around $375,000, it also lowered their annual taxes by $400,000. All this was put in the budget. However, since that time, which we approved in October, there was tax law changes where itemization and so forth is limited, local taxes, so many homeowners and businesses prepaid their taxes. So not only did they pay their January taxes, they've also paid January and August. So summarize, we received approximately about $950,000 more than we previously forecasted. Now about half of that we expect will not be paid in August, so it lowers next year. We are still getting a lot of appeals, as I mentioned to the board. Not only do we have Kohl's, Outer Beerman, and Sears are in our district, they've all asked for appeals. January, we did have an agreement, which the board approved, to lower the Franklin Park Mall. January 19, they can reappeal. And they've said they will. They'll probably ask for another $20 or $30 million reduction. And that's where we're at with our real estate. The good news is we are going to have a revaluation that will occur for this year, effective with taxes collected in January of 2019, and we do expect for the first time, I believe, in 12 years, we're actually going to have an increase in our valuations. Our guys at boards are aware our valuations have decreased by around 40% in our district. We're the only district in Lucas County that has not had an increase for over 10 straight years. So that's the real estate. Second, state funding. Again, it is a 3% increase. It's a number the state's provided. We are capped, which basically means we should be receiving significantly more dollars from the state of Ohio, but because of the cap, we don't receive that. They limit it to 3%. Basically, with that amount of money is approximately $14.7 million for this year. We've lost over $62 million over the last 4 years. The state just chooses not to pay what this formula says. They created a formula. You run it through the numbers. It's based on valuation, income, and number of students, and we don't receive it. The other item that they made a change on, you know, eventually this will probably not even be discussed. It's old news. But about 7-8 years ago, they eliminated personal property tax. We used to receive over $15 million in related revenue and about $12 million in personal property. They initially held us harmless for the $12 million personal property with $8.7 million. Now, when you do the math, obviously that wasn't held harmless. They have now declined that, now this year receiving 3.9, and every year going forward for the next 7 to 8 years, they're going to reduce our funding by about $500 million. If you look at the revenue, another item number three we're going to talk about, our revenue is pretty much flat, and that's what we struggle with. We have, obviously, expenses go up every year, whether it be salaries, health care, utilities, you know, supplies, textbooks, computers. Our needs increase with the students, so therefore, you know, our budgets are increasing, but our revenue's been pretty much flat, and that's what we're projecting forward. Our money's usually increased because of real estate, passage of a levy. We do have a levy on the ballot November 18, and also with state aid. And again, state aid at 3%, and half its loss of personal property tax loss, we have very minimal growth. That concludes my revenue. Any questions on the revenue before I go to expenses? Next item is personal services. You know, these are salaries. This does include the 2.5% increase staff received for this year and reflects the tentative agreement for 2% for next year. It also includes the steps. It does have additional staffing next year of four certified members for teachers, and that's what we have in the budget. We don't have anything in the budget for 2020 and future years for new staffing. Next item is health care. We began self-funded health care in 2014. We created the fund due to health care costs kept increasing. We thought we were ready to take the risk to be self-funded for our health care. The first year, we were proposed by Paramount, who's still our third-party provider, but they were fully insured through Paramount. They were going to raise our rate 16.8%. We then went self-funded and raised it by 13.8%. We had increases since then. However, based on our current fund balance, we're going to have a 0% increase in 2019. We really seem to be that fund seems to be stabilizing. We had our first year, unfortunately, was a bad year, but that made us, or one of us, me, more conservative going forward. But now I'm very comfortable doing zeros. It does appear the fund is stabilized. The second item we have is our dental insurance. We are self-funded for that. That has also been doing well. Those claims were increasing. Now they seem to have plateaued. So I'm recommending a 10% decrease for dental for next year. Next item is purchase services. These are EST contracts. You know, they're on the board later for, I believe, $1.9 million for next year and $1.9 for the following year. Those are special ed services that EST provides to our students. Next item, deficit. Have a deficit of 1.5. I'm sorry.
Quick second. And I know you're going to ask for questions at the end, but while you're right on that point, when we did our conversion and brought a lot of these jobs in-house from the ESC, how does that look as far as savings to this point?
It did save us dollars. Exactly how much, I can't say. But one thing that we did is when we brought them in-house, we did have a savings. It was a wash. But what our concern was because the state basically eliminated the funding to the ESCs and reduced it in half, our cost went from $1.8 to $3.4 million in 1 year. We were concerned because the governor was proposing to eliminate that the following year. It was going to go up again. So in order to make our costs more fixed, we brought those in-house. And it was, they're pretty even on salary-wise, but there was a slight savings. How much, I don't remember.
So let me ask this. Is there any, are we looking at, or are you thinking about looking at any of these other services offered by
ESE? We do that every year. We do that every year. We compare the cost of hire our own to them. They have had an increase this year. As you know, they were a sponsor for a charter school. I've always felt that was subsidizing, you know, their fees. They've now, you know, they've frozen. I was, you know, they actually froze their rates for, I think, 4 years or 6 years. So this is the first time that they're increasing, I believe, by 3%. And that's reflected in the budget, you know, that we're going through. But we look at it every time to bring things in-house. I know we brought, it's here somewhere, but we brought in psychologists. We brought in, we took in a couple units. That means not only added a teacher, but also the classroom aide or two, speech therapists. Trying to think of all the other ones that we did.
Okay.
We do look at that, Mr. Hunter.
Thank you.
They do it each time. They look at it. We also look at the needs. I mean, there's always maybe a proposal to increase. I know 2 years ago we added two new positions through the ESE. That was an increase of $200,000. But then this year there was discussion, but we chose not to. We are trying to look at our costs because we are deficit spending. But then the needs of our special ed population is increasing. So it's a balancing act that we're looking at. So next item is our deficit. It's item number 7 we're going to discuss. Again, we previously predicted a $3.2 million deficit, but because of higher revenue, and I also didn't mention the tuition revenue, our deficit is going to be $1.5 million. So that is a decrease. We do expect to decline slightly. It's a little more than normal, but again, we didn't expect to have $1 million more in real estate for 1 year. Again, this is we still have a deficit. That's always concerned me. Going forward, the deficits are going to get larger. A tax levy will reduce those deficits, but not entirely eliminate them. In 2019, we are forecasting our balance to decline by nearly $9 million over 2 years, and in 3 years, over $20 million. Our first deficit is 2022. We are maintaining a rainy day fund. It's something we started, the state mandated it in the late 90s. We're one of the few districts that kept it, something that we chose was important. We've also increased it when funds were available, and right now it's equivalent to about 2 payrolls. So it's not a lot of money when you look at our budget. $3.6 million is a lot, but basically 1 month of payrolls, it'll be gone. The next item is the unreserved balance. Again, it's forecast to be $22.8 million in 2018 this year, $19.8 million next year, and continue to decline. Our first deficit is 2022. One thing about our budget for this year is if you look at the encumbrances, I'm estimating the encumbrance to be $850,000. There's a lot of items on the agenda tonight. I'm expecting every one of those to be paid by June 30th. If they're not paid, that means our fund deficit this year will not be as, it won't be $1.5 million. It might be $1.9 million, but that means that we will be adding those expenditures the next year, which would increase it. So now we do have issues, we have deadlines to get things in, but certain items can't, like textbooks. There's some technology, and I'm sure they're all going to be paid by June 30th. As of this morning, we had almost $2 million in encumbrances, and we're still encumbering some large items, including insurance and other items for repairs. The last item is number 10. This is our enrollment. Enrollment is increased. Ironically, we closed the building and went up about 400 kids. This year, we had our first decline. We're down about 50 kids for the year. I'm just forecasting it's unchanged. That's what we always do. Whatever the current enrollment is, we're just going forward into the next year. So that concludes my presentation. So if there's any questions or comments, then we can call for the roll.
I just want to make a quick comment, Jeff. You know, we've been very fortunate over the years to have you at the helm of the finances because you have been basically spot on. The only time you screw up is when the government decides to take more from us and you're not prepared for it. In my tenure on the school board, it's been a real ugly thing that the state has done to us in the amount of money they've taken away from us. They've put an absolutely sound school system, Washington Local, into a very precarious and ugly position financially. There were no districts around in our area that were off as well as we were financially 5 years ago, and that all comes back to great planning in the past, but it becomes very difficult year after year to plan when they just come in at will and take large amounts of money away from us. Case in point, and Jeff mentioned it briefly, was the personal property tax. This district used to receive taxes from Franklin Park Mall, the Jeep Corporation and factory, and the powertrain in the area of $9 million. And that was eliminated. Had this district still had our $9 million a year, we wouldn't need to come to our taxpayers for levies at all. We wouldn't have had to go to our taxpayers for the last 10 years. We did some wonderful things in the early 2000 years, and we did a great job with that. We really built up our finances well. 25 years ago, we only had $300,000 in the bank, and at one time, we were up as high as $32, $33 million. We were prepared for the storm, and I think we've always predicted that the storm was going to happen. We just didn't know that the storm would come from our own government. It's a shame when you realize that for every student that comes to one of our schools now, we get no more money, but if that same student leaves, they take money away. Now, there's something wrong with that philosophy, and it's punishing people like us in our blue-collar district, because when they leave, the money goes with them, even though they brought no money in, and it's really not a good situation for this district. But, you know, thank God we've got a great treasurer who's done a good job for us and a wonderful community who has supported us over the years with all the levies and that we have, and hopefully things turn around in the near future. Thanks, Jeff, for doing a great job.
Thank you, Mr. Hunter.
Anyone else?
$62.5 million over the last 4 years, Jeff, because we were capped.
That's correct. This will be our fourth year being capped, and fourth or fifth year being capped. I'd make sure it starts. It basically is with the
Ohio legislation.
With the 14.7 we're capped this year, Whitmer has a little over 2,000 students. We could basically, every student at Whitmer really is not being funded.
Right.
And I've said before, you can, you know, the Great Recession, which they refer to now with the property values dropping, businesses not paying delinquent taxes, all that Great Recession, everything. You could argue that the state legislators did more harm to this district financially than the Great Recession.
No, no question.
I mean, elimination of personal property, the cap, the status, you know, the things that they've done financially and they continue to do. There's a reason why it's unconstitutional. It's been ruled 3 or 4 times unconstitutional, and they keep doing it. Even our levy that's going to be on a ballot. At one time, the state used to reimburse, if the levy would pass, if it was $100, the state would reimburse $12.50 for that levy. They eliminated that in November of 13. They just said, oh, we're not going to do that anymore. They pushed another burden on back on the homeowner. And basically want us to go back to the to our voters every 3 to 5 years and say, please support us.
Yeah.
And we're the only government entity that really has to do that. I mean, you see where other taxes are being raised, and there's not a vote of the people. They just raise them.
And the state of Ohio has a huge surplus.
$2 billion.
Yes, it's generating a larger surplus.
It's $2 billion for that rainy day fund they got.
Yep, $1 billion.
Two. Wow.
And it just keeps growing, and the economy's turned around. And the tax collections, I get a monthly, we all get, not all of us, but there's a monthly report the state provides, and you can see how much it's growing every month. They collect more taxes. And you accumulate that over 10, 11 months, you know, 30 to 50 million, you know, state budget, you know, that's a lot of money, don't be wrong. But if you do that for 10 months when it's $500 million over, that's significant. And they are generating it. Hopefully they'll start funding schools adequately. You see, nationwide, it's a problem.
Right.
Whether it be in Kansas, Oklahoma, schools is not something they do.
Yeah.
They haven't funded.
And as we know, I mean, as I've said before, and all of us have, Jeff, we appreciate it. You make something so complicated reasonable for us to understand, and I appreciate that. Not only are you a great leader, but you really care about this district. And I appreciate that. So, yeah, it's difficult not only to public education, but to our homeowners out there, our tax, you know, those people that are out there. It's just becoming more and more difficult. So I'm looking forward to making it very clear to this community why this levy is going to be really important. So,
Mr. Sharp, anything? Senator, anything further?
No.
Fine job, Jeff. Again, everyone has said it, but we all know that you are the financial genius who has helped us through this storm, and I appreciate the time that you take with me outside the boardroom to look at those issues, and I know the rest of the board does as well.
Thank you.
No further discussion. We'll call the roll, please.
Mr. Hughes?
Yes.
Ms. Canales?
Yes.
Mr. Elstrup?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Sharp?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0. That concludes my section.
You sure about that? Let me check the agenda.
I'm
Dr.
Sure.
Beaver?
That was devastating to know.
The spring is filled with performances, competitions, and recognitions, and we are bursting with pride at the accomplishments of our students. I want to extend my thanks to the many staff members who have been involved in the planning, setting up, and cleaning up for the numerous special events that take place in the spring. From concerts and field days to dances and picnics to award assemblies and presentations, a lot of time and effort is devoted behind the scenes to make these events special for our students and their families. So I would like to thank all staff for all the hard work you do. Two special days are coming up where seniors will be announcing their college choices. On Friday, May 18th at 1:55 p.m., we will hold an athlete signing day in the Whitmer Fieldhouse lobby. 20 Whitmer student athletes representing football, basketball, softball, track and field, and cheer will announce the colleges where they will compete next year. On Tuesday, May 22nd at 9 a.m., Whitmer will hold its academic all-star signing event. Our 45 summa cum laude seniors who have achieved a grade point average of 4.0 or higher will announce the colleges where they will attend. Last week's academic awards night at Whitmer was an inspiring night as we heard about the amazing achievements of our high school students. Our seniors will be honored at the Senior Assembly on Friday, June 1st at 8:30, and their scholarships will be announced there. We are all looking forward to commencement on Saturday, June 2nd at 1 p.m. This year's ceremony will be held at the University of Toledo campus at Savage Hall. Thank you.
That's it?
That's it.
All righty. Oh. Board reports. We'll start with Mr. Hughes.
I knew you were going to start with me.
All right, Ms. Canales.
My board comments, and I apologize because I'm not going to discuss much more than what I'm going to bring forth. In January, when I came on this board, I looked at the evaluation tool of the superintendent, and I was not very fond of it. And there were parts of it I just didn't like. But I thought that we had a great opportunity to improve that. And Dr. Hayward and I have been working together to see what opportunities, what tools are out there. So we were looking at the Ohio Department of Education's superintendent evaluation form, and I just wanted to present this to the board for our consideration. You have two, there's 44 pages to the evaluation system, so I didn't want to bore you all with that right now. We certainly could talk about that later on. But one section you have here shows an example of how one is filled out. What it is a working form. It identifies our district goals, and it shows our evidence of progression. So, and we also can identify at some point in time the job description of the superintendent, but that is a something that's done as a group. And this is what this does is, since we do the evaluation twice a year, it's a working form where we identify what the standards are, our visions, our five goals, and then the superintendent has the opportunity then to do a self-evaluation, and the board itself then rates that, and that will result in the board president actually signing this and collating the data. Each board member then would have the opportunity to do their own assessment, but then the board president would put that together into one form, and that would put us in compliance with the evaluation tool of the superintendent. It is, I'm not going to lie, it seems cumbersome. Dr. Hayward and I discussed that her evaluation is due in January and June, that she would get her portion completed to us with her cabinet in December, then we would have that opportunity from December to January to do our portion of that. and work together. And then in May, when it's due in June, we would do that too, and we would look at the different progression, because this would, we would not change the goals, and we would have that opportunity then to see how we, how successful we are with our district objectives and how the superintendent is doing. And I think, Dr. Hayward, please, I think you like this form.
It's a good tool, and it's in alignment with OTES and OPES. And so I think it's a fair document and a good tool for self-evaluation and progress monitoring, and really putting us in a position as a school district to have district goals to move us forward. And so I would like to begin that process, and I look forward to it.
Thank you.
Anything further?
No.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Hughes. Ms. Canales?
Mark, I just want to thank you for that. I know that was a lot of work, and working with our superintendent on getting that. The old evaluation is, it just doesn't do it justice to even the superintendent. So we're really looking forward to self-evaluating and looking at evaluations and goals, setting goals not only for the superintendent but the district. So thank you for doing that homework for us. We appreciate it. So it's just an exciting time with all of the sports and spring sports that are going on, the play. I want to thank the I don't think I've ever really thanked this district for sending us to the National School Board Association. We get so much from it. I just want to really thank you for allowing us to do that. It's a fun time. You gather so much information, the networking, and just seeing what other people are doing. So it's exciting to meet and to talk to other board members, other districts, on what they're doing, where they're prevailing, and maybe even times where they're not. So I think, you know, things are all moving. It's amazing when you look on social media for our page of all the things that are going on for our sports. So many things, it's just exciting. I can't believe we're so cool out there. But and then as we kind of creep into our senior, having the privilege of handing out diplomas. So I'm really looking forward to that. And I would just like to say, Chris, welcome. We look forward to having you, and we thank you for taking this opportunity on for us.
Thank you.
Welcome aboard.
Thanks.
Well, since you're talking, Mr. Sharp, why don't I give you the opportunity to...
What I've been able to share with recently is the arts, going to the performance of AIDA. That was very, very nice, being able to step in and see that. We didn't get to stay for the whole thing. We had to leave at intermission, but the amount of talent that is in this district, the amount of work that the teachers put in, the parents put in, the kids, it's intense how hard and how talented these kids are, how hard they work. Being involved with the IOO, going over there, and my daughter's been involved in that for 4 years now as a cheerleader. She's graduating this year, and which you touched down on handing out the diplomas. I believe I'm going to be able to hand her diploma this year, which is an unbelievable honor. She's graduating summa cum laude. She's in HOSA, taking her talents in nursing to University of Toledo. Very proud moment for me to be able to hand her diploma. This is just an incredible district. This is great, great being in this position right here. So I just like to share that.
Thank you, Mr. Sharp.
Thank you.
And welcome again. Mr. Hunter?
I've got a few thoughts I've been thinking about. Now that the selection process to replace the board member is over, I'd like to make a few comments and observations as to make clear my beliefs and opinions about the process and outcome, as well as a few other observations I've made since we seated this board in 2018. First, I'd like to congratulate Scott Sharp. He was a true gentleman, as were all the other candidates throughout the full selection process. I look forward to working with him, and if he would choose to do so, I'll be more than happy to work with him to help him learn more about the role of board members, as well as pass along some of the knowledge I've gained over my 25 years on the board. Some first-year board members choose to settle in slow and learn from other board members. Some choose to jump right in and make decisions based on their own opinions. I'm willing to work with him, whatever his style. I do feel it is important to explain why I felt it important to stand firm on my stance supporting Irshad Bannister. It was not in any sense of the word against Mr. Sharp, but rather a stance that I believe reflected the will of the community that has elected me 6 times to represent their views. Ershad was the next vote getter in the election only 100 days prior to the vacancy taking place. He was only a few hundred votes behind the number 3 vote getter who was given a seat on the board. I feel that I'm a voice of the community, and the community made their next selection very clear with nearly 3,000 votes. I believed and still do believe that it is Washington local community's school system, and that I owed it to our voters to put their selection on the board. I did not believe that the selection should be political or pressured by special interest groups. And believe me, there was plenty of pressure and even a very curt letter damning my principles and beliefs from an organization that I have supported very strongly all of my life. The other reason I felt very strong about Ershad is that he put blood, sweat, and tears into the election and ran. He got petitions signed, begged for money, bought signs, went door to door, addressed various candidate nights and forums, and put his life on hold for a few months. Over the years, we have spoken about the need to have a woman on the board. While I believe that it is important to have a woman on the board, it is just as important to have a member of our community's African-American family on our school board. During our interview process, it was mentioned by all board members that our candidates were all very good. I was open to any candidates being selected if we found Ershad was not capable or qualified, but no one could give me a reason why they did not think he could do the job. He interviewed very well and demonstrated his love for the district. The only thing that I heard was that it did not feel right. I'm sorry, but that was not enough for me not to follow what our community voted for or my conscience believed to be right. Since this selection has been made, I've been approached by several members of our African-American community who have voiced displeasure with the selection, not against Chris, just disappointed that a board that we did not choose Ershad, who is not only the next finisher, but also an African-American who could have brought to the board a voice that has never been here before. I was told that many African-Americans turned out to vote for Ershad because he is black and they wanted to see the board's diversity expanded with both black and white, along with our male and female composition. I believe that this board must start to work together. Although not illegal, I feel it's absolutely wrong for 2 board members to leave an executive session for more than 20 minutes to talk about their strategy when 4 board members are supposed to work together. This is certainly not a way to demonstrate a willingness to work together to support our students and district, but rather a demonstration of creating a division among the board. The board must work as a team, not in pairs. I pray for the sake of our district that Mr. Sharp will pledge himself to work as a team to help us move forward in a progressive and positive manner. I also hope with the addition of Chris to the board that we will be able to make it very clear to our community that Dr. Hayward has our full support. Once again, I feel very bad about how we were unable as a board to grant her an extension on her contract when she requested after all she had gone through, all that she had accomplished, and all the love that she has shared with our students. Then to turn around 40 days later and approve it, that made no sense and certainly sent the wrong message to both Susan and our community. We have some enormous needs and opportunities coming up in the near future. We will need to pass an operational/capital improvement levy soon. And in my opinion, even more important, some type of bond to support the Ohio Facilities Construction Commission's findings that will allow this district to build several new schools at a fraction of what it will cost. We may be fortunate enough to have to pay only 25 cents or even less on every dollar we spend, with the state picking up the remaining 75 to 80 cents. In simple terms, we will be able to put up as much as $200 million worth of schools for less than $50 million. Or in other words, get 4 schools for the price of 1. I hope that the board has not alienated too many members of our community by not being able to demonstrate a willingness to work together and choose a member of the community who received almost 3,000 votes. I hope that going forward, we, the board, will be able to demonstrate that we are fully committed to doing what is best for our students. Quit making decisions that are politically motivated and ask our community to heal along with us to highlight the greatness and tradition of excellence that is Washington local. I'm sorry this has taken so long, but I might feel my principles had to be made clear for many reasons, in particular my conscience, and to assure Chris that my stance had nothing to do with him at all and was solely based upon what I believe was the right thing to do. That is how my parents raised me, and I will hold my head high when my days on the board are over, knowing what I did was right, regardless of the pressure put upon me to change my beliefs and disregard my principles. I'd also like to say how great the play Aida was, probably my most favorite musical in 25 years of Whitmer's productions. I'd also like to recognize the girls' track team in its victory at this year's Nancy Ermey Invitational, and I know that the boys are doing really well also, but it was a very special moment for me at the finish line when the Whitmer girls found out they won, and why they were most happy about winning was because they wanted to represent what Mr. and Mrs. Ermey had done over the years for Panthers and Whitmer. Tom and I attended the band orchestra banquet, and it was unusual. It was usual. It was great. Those kids are very spirited and have a great zeal for both music and for Whitmer. I also like to say, and have said this for years, the Infinite Opportunity Olympics are my favorite event of the year. The athletes and cheerleaders from Whitmer exemplify all that is good in our high school, and I cannot tell you what the faces on the day's athletes, their families reflected. It was very beautiful. There has not been a single year that I have not been moved to tears or joy and heartfelt emotion. God is good. I firmly believe the athletes' parents, guardians, and families get the most out of it. Just another gift that these folks with disabilities have given to us. We are pleased to have the opportunity to share with them their unbridled enthusiasm. And I just added a couple of notes there. I know it's long enough. I wanted to congratulate Jen Gent for becoming part of the Tallest Group. I did not do it by phone, but I've known you for many years, and I hope that your leadership, along with the board, will help us go forward and make this a great place. Also, I noticed that a local district did a signing day. We signed the kids for athletics. We signed the kids for high grades. This other district had a signing day for all those that signed to go to the military, and it was gorgeous. The kids came up with their parents and their military escort, whoever, and it was really super. They're on stage, and they did a signing for their military people who are our future heroes. I would like to see that kind of thing instituted at Whitmer. Sorry for all the time and the emotion, but I feel very strongly.
Thank you, Mr. Hunter. I appreciate those heartfelt words. We've all attended so many events as the school year comes to a close, and it's always bittersweet to be able to attend banquets and award ceremonies and culminating, of course, in graduation, whether it was the IOOs, which are a heartfelt event, and to see the joy in those kids' faces, or to attend the musical and the fine talent that we saw tonight, again, re-reflected, or the senior banquet, the senior top 10, or top 15, rather, senior luncheon. I had the absolute pleasure about a week and a half ago to go to Ms. Friend's class at Monac and be decimated by her class in the math challenge, and a young lady named Peyton outshined me by, I can't even begin to tell you how much, but that was an excellent time, and I love going into the buildings. I'm sorry I don't have a lot of time to go to spend in them, but that was a real treat for me, and I appreciate the invitation this friend extended to me back in November when I was running for the board, and being able to do that, like I said, about a week and a half ago. Today, I had an opportunity to go to the CTC and look at the senior projects that were being presented there. I didn't have a chance to see all of them, but just a fraction, and it's a wonder the level of quality of those reports. Some of those look like they were prepared by graduate students in presenting their material and having it judged, and I was very impressed, and I understand, Ms. Martin, that we may be even considering a senior project for all seniors. Is that my understanding? That would be an awesome opportunity to showcase that talent as well, because they definitely did a great job today, and I appreciate that. I also, while I was on my travels, I was in Principal Williams' building. I don't see her here tonight. Is she? Oh, there she is. I had an opportunity to walk through with her as well and see some of the great things in her building. And I finished my travel path at Washington today and had a chance to meet with a number of teachers there. Jen, your door was closed, and I was actually going to stop in and say congratulations to you as well. But I do congratulate you and look forward to working with you. And the board that you have at the end of your hall is really awesome with all the mistakes and spelling and grammar. That was pretty interesting. So again, welcome to that position, and I wish you good luck. And as I was walking down the hall, I walked by Ms. Bosch's classroom, and the door happened to be open there, and I walked by, and I stopped, and I thought, well, wait a second, that's not a student sitting there. And I backed up. Dr. Hayward was sitting in that classroom enjoying lunch with Ms. Bosch's class, or at least a fraction of them, for an award that they had received. And so I got to visit with Dr. Hayward, with Ms. Bronikowski, and with Ms. Bosch, as well as their class. And that was a real treat for me today. It seemed like I was there for hours, but it was only a matter of a few minutes. But long and short of it is, great things are happening here in Washington Local. I'm so very impressed. I went to Bill Colin's carnival over at Greenwood last weekend. We had a great time there, even though it was inside because of the weather. Keep up the good work, folks. Regardless of what nonsense has occurred here, behind the scenes, I know everything great is still happening in this district. Keep it up. Please let our light shine to this community. Let them know that nothing has happened in that regard, that we are still awesome. And the reason I believe all of us moved into this district continues to be the same today. So keep up the good work. One last thing. In terms of the board, information is starting to come in from the Facilities Commission. And Dr. Hayward and I have been discussing some of it. It's been trickling in anticipation of us looking towards a bond issue in the future. I'm going to suggest to you that we consider having one or two dedicated work sessions in late June or July to look just at facilities issues as we get our heads around all of the analysis that's being provided to us in terms of the condition of the buildings, what has to be done in terms of renovation or a complete redo. So I would ask you to bring your calendars with you to the Saturday work session, which is on June 9th, so that we can perhaps map out a strategy for looking at that. Those will be public meetings, but we will have them dedicated only to work issues. Okay, so if you'd bring your calendars on June 9th, I'd appreciate that. And that concludes my report, we'll go back to Dr. Hayward. Brian? Oh, I'm sorry. Down there hiding in
I'll pass tonight. Okay. There's wonderful things going on, and I can't add to the pile, so nicely done.
Thank you, Mr. Davis. Dr. Hayward.
Exhibit 9, gifts and donations. Midwest Contracting is donating $29,369 to the district, which represents a 50% share of the tax deduction they receive for expenses associated with projects contracted by Washington Local Schools. The superintendent recommends that the Board of Education accept the gifts and donations as presented.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Hunter.
Second.
Second by Mr. Hughes. Discussion? There being none, call the roll, please.
Ms. Canales.
Yes.
Mr. Hillstrop.
Yes.
Mr. Hunter.
Yes.
Mr. Sharp.
Yes.
Mr. Hughes.
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Exhibit 10, textbook and resource adoption. Our curriculum department and teachers work collaboratively to select resources to support teacher instruction and student learning in mathematics at the secondary level. Evaluation criteria included alignment to the Ohio Learning Standards, a blend of print and online accessibility, and the ability to meet the needs of diverse populations. The final selections were Glencoe with Alex for grades 7 and 8 at a cost of $99,838.80, and Big Ideas Math for grades 9 through 12 at a cost of $147,170.50. The superintendent recommends that the Board of Education adopt the textbooks and resources for mathematics grades 7, 12 as presented.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Canales.
Second.
Second by Mr. Hughes. Discussion? There being none, call the roll, please.
Mr. Hillstrop.
Yes.
Mr. Hunter.
Yes.
Sharp.
Yes. Yes.
Mr. Hughes.
Yes.
Ms. Canales.
Yes.
Wilson passes 5-0.
Exhibit 11, purchases over $25,000. The Department of Information Systems requests 46 desktop computers and LED monitors and two notebook computers for the project Lead the Way in the amount of $81,394. The Department of Student Services requests contracted services with the Educational Service Center of Lake Erie West for the next two school years, 2018-2019 and 2019-2020, in the amount of $1,866,715.44 each year. Per policy 6320, the superintendent recommends that the Board of Education approve the purchases over $25,000 as presented.
Looking for a motion, please.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Hughes.
Second.
Was that Mr. Hunter?
It's a second.
Mr. Hunter seconds that motion. Discussion? There being none, call the roll, please.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Sharp?
Yes.
Mr. Hughes?
Yes.
Ms. Canales?
Yes.
Mr. Ilstrup?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Exhibit 12, employment of architect. The superintendent recommends that the Board of Education approve employment of Stow & Stow Architects for the preparation of specifications, bid documents, and legal advertising at 7% of the construction cost for the handicap ramp project at Whitmer High School Nightingale Center for Performing Arts.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Canales.
Second.
Second by Mr. Hughes. Discussion?
So, Jeff, I'm going to ask you a question, but I'm sure that that guy in the back row is going to want to jump in. Do we have to have an architect for this job?
Yes.
He won't want to say anything then. That was the answer he wanted.
Construction and construction project, I believe it's $50,000. Hey, you would want one, I guess, but you're going to tear down a wall, build something.
Well, my thought is that anybody who's ever built a ramp before knows how to build a ramp without an architect coming in and telling them how.
I believe it's going through a wall.
It's my understanding it's more than just a ramp. It's a structural change.
Those guys out there know what they're doing.
Well, I don't disagree with that.
Is that a local firm handling it?
Pardon?
Is that a local firm handling
it?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Stow & Stow.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other discussion? There being none, call the roll.
Mr. Sharp?
Yes.
Mr. Hughes?
Yes.
Ms. Canales?
Yes.
Mr. Ilstrup?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Exhibit 13, Ohio High School Athletic Association 2018-2019 Membership Resolution. The superintendent recommends that the Board of Education approve the resolution authorizing 2018-2019 membership in the Ohio High School Athletic Association as presented.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Canales.
Second.
Second by Mr. Hughes. Discussion? There being none, call the roll, please.
Mr. Hughes?
Yes.
Ms. Canales?
Yes.
Mr. Ilstrup?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Sharp?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Exhibit 14, student activity account. Monac Elementary was the first Washington local school to have a therapy dog. Greenwood Elementary is taking steps to become the next and is requesting an account to be set up for their fundraising efforts. The superintendent recommends that the Board of Education establish a student activity club account for the Greenwood Therapy Dog.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Canales.
Second.
Second by Mr. Hughes. Discussion?
So here's my recollection of the approval for a dog at Monac, that we were going to approve a dog at Monac only, and they were going to have this dog, and we were going to review how that dog went and make a decision based upon how we felt the program went at Monac. I'm pretty sure that was a board discussion at that time.
It was done at a Saturday meeting.
Saturday meeting?
We even had the dog.
The discussion was we were not going to approve any other dogs until we got a good feedback on how that dog worked at Monac and all that. And now I see this appearing.
I don't remember that, but I do know that the Monac dog is I've never had any problems with the budget.
Is the Monac
funding
principal here?
Yeah.
Yes.
And they really.
What's going on with the dog?
So several pieces to it that we use a broke for. One of it's a reading retriever program where we have parent volunteers come in and they just sit in the room. So we have some adult in the room. Obviously, they're all approved volunteers. Students that are program readers that feel more comfortable reading to a dog than a person. We are.
Thank you. Appreciate that. So the students that are struggling readers,
we see a lot of improvement with and excitement with them reading the Brook. We have students that come into school that have struggled coming to school, maybe anxiety or things of that nature, and that we have programs set up for them where they come in and they see Brook, they get a water. Now, quite honestly, you might have four kids get a water in 20 minutes. But they come out the old water, get a new water, and they're excited to be in school, they get a fall print, they're in class on time. So we have a lot of different pieces to it that truly kids are, we really see a lot of benefits to having the dog there.
Can you tell us about the dog's life? Does it go home with the teacher? What's going on there?
So there has to be a caregiver for the dog, and our counselors want to step up, went to the training. You guys, someone else might be able to speak better to this. This was last year before I was there, but I believe it was 3 days out of town that she went to the training with a company. The dog had been, I believe, 2 years, trained for 2 years prior to her getting it, and then the dog was home with our counselor.
What's your opinion on the program?
I love it. You know, we talk a lot about just making sure we are documenting the positives that we see. Melanie Robinson is wonderful with that. We continue to look for different ways to utilize Brooke. We have some students, another example of might have some social anxiety struggling to go outside of recess. So a few days a week, they have a small group and this changes. When they go outside with Brooke and have lunch, there's a recess time, they go out front, they throw a ball with her. Again, it's just a connection. It helps them. There's some peer interaction. They have a social peer group that goes outside with her as well. They're working through that time. Again, I'm very happy with
it. Have you had any negatives at all with the dog?
No, not that I can think of, no. She's been great.
It'd be ugly if somebody up here to vote against the dog, but I just remember that our original discussion was we were going to go a three-year trial period and then actually have some type of report come back to the board just so we had a better feel for it. I mean, I'm not going to vote against a dog, but it just...
I think it makes sense, though. The more feedback we have.
Yeah, I mean, I would hate to bring a dog in if it's bit five students, you know.
Only three.
But it's good. Things are good. You would suggest another
hey,
building
Sean.
Have one?
I would.
Thank you.
Has a dog been identified, or are we still in the early processes for Greenwood, or do you guys have a dog that's established that...
We don't have a dog yet. We've been approved to get a dog. The timeline is looking like possibly this fall, or it may not be until next fall. We don't know at this point. So we're on the waiting list, and we just got to wait and see.
Is there a handler already identified?
Our counselor, Stephanie Moore, will be the handler. Yeah.
Out of curiosity, what is your fundraising goal?
We need to raise about $500. That would include the purchase of the dog. It would include the training for Mrs. Moore to go out to, I believe, New Hampshire for the training, all of her expenses, and yeah, then the dog belongs to Greenwood. You know, so if our counselor would happen to transfer to say Whitmer. It would be her responsibility to bring the dog to Greenwood every day and then pick the dog up in that after school. Now, she has no intentions of leaving, but you know, just one of those things we've made known to our community, you know, when we're asking for the fundraising dollars, is that Greenwood's dog.
I think it's also worth noting that it's the whole building at Greenwood that's coming together for this opportunity. And when I was at their staff meeting, they were so excited with this possibility. And I have a fourth grader at Monac, so I see the dog and I hear about the dog, and I think one of the most rewarding experiences is its ability to de-escalate kids who are really having a hard time. And I think that dog really plays into that and really supports those kids.
Does a dog handle fire alarms and that kind of commotion real well?
No issues at all with that. She's very kid friendly, she wants to be in school. Days that we are on extended breaks, truly. Melanie talks all the time, again, the counselor, that she wants to be back in school. She's excited to be there. And she's at the door every day, greeting kids. Just really, it seems.
Cool.
They're the best of the best. I mean, I think Mrs. Moore said there's over a 50% dropout rate for these dogs. So it's, you know, not just taking any dog off the street, put them in the program, and then, okay, here you go. It's a very rigorous process to pass the therapy dog training.
Have there been any issues at all with allergies, any parents' feedback on allergies or having a dog in the building?
So other dogs in the building know. We've had some other dogs that have come up.
No, no. Your dog having kids and parents being worried about a dog in the building if they children have allergies?
I mean, there's been some people that we, early in the year, we sent out that information to people, and there was people that said, yes, our kid cannot be privy to, you know, around the dog. I believe, again, it's before I was there, but I believe there was a student that went to another building as a result of this, as a result of allergies. But I apologize, not only for sure, I just wasn't there at that time.
Went to
McGregor?
Okay. Yes.
So I'm hearing that the student went to McGregor. I wasn't 100% sure of that. That was, again, early in the process when there was some communication going home as to bringing the dog in the building. The only other, I'd say, concern is we have some families that are not used to having dogs based on their culture, and so the children are fine, and the families understand that the dog's there, and they're very, the kids are allowed to be around the dog, but some of the younger kids, when they come in with mom or dad, or the parents come in, they're a little more taken aback by the dog. They're a little put off by that. But again, we work with every family. When that happens, we remove the dog from that situation and work with the family.
It's not a free-range dog. It doesn't have... You can't just walk around where it wants, can it?
No, not at all. In the morning, first 20 or 30 minutes before students are there, she does walk around, and then as soon as around 8:30, students are coming in for breakfast, we put her vest on. That's her work mode. She knows she's got to work in. She's on the clock, and she truly, it's funny, but when you put that on her, she changes. She changes, and she knows that's the time to work.
Sean, I was at your building and watched Brooke, I believe, for a couple hours, and the interaction your students had with that dog was amazing. And you could see the anxiety level just go down. Then that one student that read to the dog was enjoying reading books because she was reading to the dog. So I did see some great benefits to having a therapy dog in your building.
You know, the kids, I know I'm kind of saying the same things in different ways here, but when they read to Brooke, they have a couple different books, and some of the young kids, they allow Brooke to choose. So whatever she looks at, but they're so excited. Brooke chose this book, we're reading it to her, and it's great to see that a child who hasn't had interest in reading, but struggled with reading, get excited to read a book.
So I have to say something, Sean. Thanks for adding all that information, but I want to tell you, not besides that, I hear so many wonderful things about what you're doing with your building, and filling Bill McGinnis's shoes had to be terribly difficult, but I'm just hearing so wonderful things about you, as all our principals are great, but I mean, that was a real transition for you, and I hear just nothing but wonderful things about you.
Thank you. It means a lot. Thank you.
Anyone else? Call the roll, please.
Ms. Canales?
Yes.
Mr. Ostrup?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes to the pooch.
Mr. Sharp?
Yes.
Mr. Hughes?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Exhibit 15, job description. The job description for the preventative bus maintenance position has been revised. The superintendent recommends that the Board of Education...
Move to waive.
Pardon?
Move to waive.
Move to waive.
Looking for a second?
Second.
Mr. Hughes, seconds. Discussion. Call the roll, please. This is on waiver.
Mr. Ostrup?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Sharp?
Yes.
Mr. Hughes?
Yes.
Ms. Canales?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
The superintendent recommends that the Board of Education approve the job description for preventative bus maintenance as presented.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Hunter.
Second.
Second by Ms. Canales. The first reading being waived, the superintendent makes a recommendation. Motion by Mr. Hunter, second by Ms. Canales. Discussion. There being none, call the roll, please.
Mr. Ostrup?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Sharp?
Yes.
Mr. Hughes?
Yes.
Ms. Canales?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Exhibit 16, resolution of necessity. Ohio law requires boards to pass two resolutions in order to place millage on the ballot. Tonight, board members will vote for the first time to place a 4.9 mil combined operating and permanent improvement levy on the November 6th, 2018 ballot. 3.9 mils will be for operating expenses. 1 mil will be designated for permanent improvement projects. If the resolution of necessity is successfully passed, a resolution to proceed will be part of the June 20th board agenda. The superintendent recommends that the Board of Education approve the resolution of necessity of combined operating and permanent improvement levy as presented.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Canales. I will second that motion. Discussion. Anything as we have not discussed previously? 3.9 current operating expenses, 1% or 1 for general improvements.
3.9 is 3 million, 1.0 is 765,000.
And for the potential bond levy, that would be down the road, correct?
Well, that's what we need to discuss. We have been advised that they should not be on the ballot together.
An advisement coming from our attorneys?
From architects.
And how do you feel about that?
I agree.
You do?
We have too much to discuss about the capital construction that we really can't talk bond until we get more details.
True.
It's a very, when you do a bond issue, especially as Mr. Hunter mentioned, it might approach $200 million. There's a lot of decisions to make.
Mm-hmm.
Not only with the elementaries, but the high schools, junior high. Do you do a middle school? Do you do a 5, 6, 7, 8? There's a lot of options you go through, and usually you want the community to have some input because you have to go to the voters to approve that. And I do believe, you know, the board of the communities, you know, you're getting, you know, 25%, you're paying the states that's providing 75%. It's really a great opportunity for this district to replace our buildings that are 50 to 100 years old. Some buildings need to be replaced.
Any other comments or thoughts? All right. Motion by Ms. Canales, second by myself. Call the roll, please.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Sharp?
Yes.
Mr. Hughes?
Yes.
Ms. Canales?
Yes.
Mr. Ilstrup?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Exhibit 17, the superintendent recommends that the Board of Education enter into executive session to number 4, consider the discipline of a public employee or official. Number 8, consider the investigation of charges or complaints against a public employee, official, licensee, or student. Number 16, review negotiations or bargaining sessions with public employees concerning their compensation or other terms and conditions of employment. Number 18, discuss details relative to the security arrangements and emergency response protocols for the Board of Education.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mrs. Canales, second by Mr. Sharp. Call the roll, please.
Mr. Sharp?
Yes.
Mr. Hughes?
Yes.
Ms. Canales?
Yes.
Mr. Ilstrup?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0 in executive session at 7:39 p.m.
Let the minutes reflect that at 9:34 p.m., the Washington Local Board of Education returned from executive session, having in fact considered the discipline of a public employee or official, considered the investigation of charges or complaints against a public employee, official, licensee, or student, reviewed negotiations or bargaining sessions with public employees concerning their compensation or other terms and conditions of employment, and discussed details relative to security arrangements and emergency response protocols for the Board of Education. All 5 members of the board did in fact return from executive session. Just in terms of some of the issues that we discussed, again, safety protocols are at the top of our agenda. We have directed Dr. Hayward to proceed with all due speed at installing security vestibules at the remainder of our buildings to make sure that those are ready and able to be operated by the fall term. cameras and communication devices were also discussed, and we are moving with all deliberate speed to address all three of those issues. I'll turn that back over to Dr. Hayward.
Thank you. Exhibit 18. The superintendent recommends that the Board of Education approve the salary schedule for associate principal high school and elementary, including special projects as presented.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Canales.
Second.
Second by Mr. Hughes. Discussion? There being none, call the roll, please.
Mr. Hughes.
Yes.
Ms. Canales.
Yes.
Mr. Ostro.
Yes.
Mr. Hunter.
Yes.
Mr. Sharp.
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Exhibit 19, Master Agreement TALLS. Negotiations with the Teachers Association of Washington Local Schools were held in March, and the TALLS membership has ratified the agreement that comes to you tonight. I would like to thank everyone for their time and effort. The superintendent recommends that the Board of Education approve the Master Agreement with the Teachers Association of Washington Local Schools effective July 1st, 2018 through June 30th, 2020, as presented.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Canales.
Second.
Second by Mr. Sharp. Discussion?
I would just like to say I was so pleased to get the information that it was done in one day, and I want to thank everybody that was involved.
No.
Sorry.
Three. Wrong one.
Thank you. I apologize. I'm tired.
And hungry.
Forgive me.
I want to say that we definitely appreciate our teachers, and we have some outstanding educators in this district. So I'm glad you guys were, I hear you were spirited, but I'm glad you were able to get this thing complete.
Any further? Please. There being none, Mr. Falk, please call the roll.
Ms. Canales.
Yes.
Mr. Ostro.
Yes.
Mr. Hunter.
Abstain.
Mr. Sharp.
Yes.
Mr. Hughes.
Yes.
Motion passes 4-0 with one abstention.
Exhibit 20, personnel. Tonight's personnel recommendations include the retirement of Donna Scouten. Donna joined the district in 1992 as a counselor at Washington Junior High and moved to Whitmer in 2007. She will retire in June with 26 years of service. We thank Donna for her dedication to Washington Local Schools and extend our congratulations and best wishes for a happy retirement. Lori Berryman, who currently serves at Whitmer, will be our new elementary associate principal serving Shoreland and Meadowvale Elementary Schools, and we wish her well in her new position. Recommendation 1 of 3. The superintendent recommends that the Board of Education approve via consent motion personnel items as presented.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Hunter.
Second.
Second by Mr. Hughes. Discussion?
This will be Lori Berryman's official position between Shoreland and Meadowvale, correct? And that will go into effect July 1st?
That will go into effect, I believe, August 1st.
Contract starts August 1st.
August 1st.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other? There being none, call the roll, please.
Mr. Ostro.
Yes.
Mr. Hunter.
Yes.
Mr. Sharp.
Yes.
Mr. Hughes.
Yes.
Ms. Canales.
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Recommendation 2 of 3. The superintendent recommends that the Board of Education approve via consent motion personnel items as presented.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Canales.
Second.
Second by Mr. Hughes. Discussion? There being none, call the roll, please.
Mr. Hunter.
Abstain.
Mr. Sharp.
Yes.
Mr. Hughes?
Yes.
Ms. Canales?
Yes.
Mr. Ostro?
Yes.
Motion passes 4-0 with one abstention.
Recommendation 3 of 3. The superintendent recommends that the Board of Education approve via consent motion personnel items as presented.
So moved.
Was that Mr. Sharp?
No.
Mr. Hunter?
Hunter.
Motion by Mr. Hunter?
Second.
Second by Mr. Hughes. Discussion? There being none, call the roll, please.
Mr. Sharp?
Yes.
Mr. Hughes?
Yes.
Ms. Canales?
Yes.
Mr. Hillstrip?
Abstain.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Motion passes 4-0 with one abstention.
Is there any other business? Mr. Hughes?
Nope.
Ms. Canales?
Yep.
Mr. Hunter? Mr. Sharp? Look for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Mr. Hunter made the motion.
Second.
Second by Ms. Canales. Call the roll, please.
Mr. Hughes.
Yes.
Ms. Canales.
Yeah.
Mr. Elstrup.
Yes.
Mr. Hunter. Mr. Hunter.
I got you.
Adjournment.
Adjournment. Vote for adjournment.
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Sharp.
So,
motion passes 5-0. Let the record show all recordings meeting is made. It is on file in the Office of the Treasurer. Meeting stands adjourned at 9:41 p.m.